Welcome to the Family Alpha Podcast, a place where men, families, and the truth have a voice. The information shared on this podcast is meant to be applied. Now, here's your host, Hunter Drew, founder of thefamilyalpha.com and co-founder of thefraternityofexcellence.com. Let's get to work.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Alpha Podcast. Today, I am joined by my FOE co-founder, Craig James, the creator of The Family CEO, which we'll be diving into later. This is episode 101. And Craig, before we jump on to you, you know, letting the world know who it is you are, I want to make a point that The Family Alpha Podcast wasn't what it is today until you showed up and kind of helped me fix it and take it a little more professional. So for all the episodes everybody's listened to and enjoyed, it was actually Craig who sent me down this path of figuring out how to properly relay the message through audio. So Craig, welcome back to the platform you helped build.
Let's go. Yeah, hey, thanks so much, man. I think you're giving me a little bit too much credit there, man. I saw recently you have reached 80 plus thousand downloads, man. That's awesome. My podcast is about 130 and you are quickly gaining on me, man. So I gotta up my game a little bit, but so maybe the student is about to surpass the master here. I'm chasing you, man. No, I gotta step it up. But no, man, it's awesome to be here. I really appreciate you having me on, man. It's always fun to get to talk to you. I know we talk quite a bit offline, but anytime you and I can get together to share the message that we have for men to lead themselves, to lead their families, to lead those in their community well, I think is time well spent.
You know, and the topic, it never, no matter how much we talk about it, gets enough attention. So again, that's why I wanted you on. I want to dive back into it. About men who are looking to either fix their family situation, you know, their role in the family, or men who are looking to maybe just improve. You know, maybe it's not broken, but they're trying to get to that next level because they're not content with where they're at. And you recently released pretty much a template to doing exactly that. So let's dive right in. You know, The Family CEO, what is it? Where did it come from? What inspired you to release this?
Sure. Yeah. And great question, man. I really appreciate the opportunity to address this because I think a lot of people, they look at a course like this and they see, you know, The Family CEO, it's a family leadership program, and it's easy to look at it from a very myopic lens. So you're just seeing this family leadership angle, which is fine. That's the name of the course. That's the angle I really want to be on the forefront. But what I think is missed in that is, you know, you and I spend a lot of time working with men inside of the Fraternity of Excellence, outside of the Fraternity of Excellence. And, you know, we see a few common threads of the things that men are missing in their lives. You know, we see married men, they aren't getting the sex they want from their wives. They have kids that don't respect them and live lives that just lack passion and purpose in their own lives. They don't have mission. They don't have a lot of meaning. They are discontented, oftentimes suffering in silent desperation. And when you put these things together, especially for the family man, there is a root cause of that. And that root cause, you know, when men want to fix their sex life and their marriage, it often extends beyond just, you know, looking good with your shirt off. Yes, that is an important dynamic, but there is something else at play there that is a deeper issue that needs to be addressed. And the same thing with your kids. If your kids aren't respecting you, it's not just a matter of you need to bring the hammer down on them harder. There's something that you're not doing as a man that is not inspiring them to want to follow you. If you don't have a mission and a purpose as a man, there's more to that. You already have things in your life as a man that you should be rallying behind, that you should be passionate about, that you should be pursuing with a lot of fervor and intention. And you're not doing that because you're failing to be the leader that you have been created to be. And so that is something I wanted to bring up here at the forefront of our conversation, because it's easy to miss this. But the real impetus for me creating this course was not just about family leadership, but it is because I believe that through family leadership, a man can fix a host of things in his life that we see going on that are problematic in the lives of men today.
Now, I think I know the answer to this, but I don't know if I've ever directly asked you, is this, you know, coming up with this plan and figuring out how to correct things, is this something you had to go through yourself, or is this a culmination of the many emails and questions that, you know, they overlap so much that you knew, hey, this is the frequently asked questions you should be targeting?
Yeah, man, I appreciate you asking that, because, you know, we have this impression, you know, those of us who inhabit, you know, the Twitter sphere and present ourselves on social media, it's very tempting to only share our successes, right, and never our failures. And what I'll say is that, yes, these are things that, what is in my course, I have used everything that I preach. And while I will say, and this is not me putting on a front, my marriage, my family life is superior to what I see in many of the men's lives who are around me and in my social circles. And that's largely why I started Masculine by Design. You know, I felt like I had something to share. But by no means is my marriage perfect. By no means am I the perfect leader in my home. And so these are things that I am constantly going back to, the fundamentals of leadership. And, you know, a lot of these strategies, if not all of them, I have found to be worth implementing, not just in the home, but also in the place of business. You know, I've been in the corporate world for over 15 years in various positions, mostly in project management and as a vice president of operations. And so I've been entrenched in corporate America, leading teams of people. And I've been taking those principles and concepts and strategies that work very well toward inspiring positive results and inspiring people and building rapport with them in the place of business. And I've taken those principles and strategies and I apply them in my home, and they work just as well, if not better, inside of the home. And so, again, these are strategies that I have had to build in order to pursue my vision of having a thriving, healthy, strong, family that is very tightly bonded together.
You know, as you say that, it's interesting. You know, I've had a lot of people come on the podcast, and the way they connect dots sometimes just like it really floors me. Was there like a moment of insight, like that aha moment, where you connected like, hey, the way I'm succeeding in business would work equally with my family? You know, some men hear that and they're so motivated with their job, but for some reason that hasn't connected to the same principles apply, you know, with the family. How did you connect those two dots?
Yeah, it was a process. And I would say it wasn't until maybe a year or two ago that I really fully appreciated those dots being connected the way that they were. And, you know, it exactly like you said, you know, I would hear these stories, or I'd hear from men who, you know, these guys are killing it at work, man. They're landing deals, they're leading teams, you know, they're managing teams of 30 people, and they're achieving results and, you know, exceeding results. And then they come home and, you know, their wives have sex with them once a month, and they're out of shape, and they're lazy and sit around on the couch, and just they're not involved in their kids' lives to the level that they should be. And the home is in a state of disarray. While when they go to work Monday through Friday, their teams there are complete success stories. And so what gives, right? And there is no reason for that. If you are able to lead a team at work, you can lead your team at home. But those dots that you just mentioned often aren't connected. We don't connect those dots. We kind of separate those two areas of our lives as men. And I think that we do ourselves and our families a great disservice when we do that, because the principles of leadership that work in the corporate world work for a reason. If you can inspire people in an office, a drab office environment where people are sitting in cubicles, if you can inspire people and get them to achieve results in that environment, you sure as hell can get some results from your family members inside of the walls of your home. You know, these lives that you have brought together and you have had a hand in creating, and you are responsible to lead. If you can lead a team of people at work and do so in a manner that's successful, You can do that at home. The dots, like you said, are not being connected in the way that they need to be connected, and the strategies are not being applied in the way that they need to be applied.
I would go so far as to say that those are the worst cases to deal with. Those are the most frustrating ones, because a man who lacks mission at his job and his family and his life, like, all right, you're just a lost soul, we need to just get a compass and get you going. But the guy who's killing it, he's like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, they're motivated. They are making the sales. And in their head, we've all been conditioned that when you go home, you kick your feet up and you relax. And it's like, well, dude, your wife and children didn't see that multi-million-dollar sale that you closed, and the pressure and the stress and how you killed it. They see the dude with the shoes off, drinking a beer, watching Netflix. And that's all they see. So that's the vision they have for you. And it's like, man, you got to get over that bridge. You got to like connect the two, and then you'll be good to go. But those guys are like so motivated in not the right areas. Like it's hard to tell a guy who's really high stress, making money, driving the nice cars, hey, you're not doing good enough. But that's exactly the situation they're in.
Yeah, and I think a lot of men too, and I fall into this trap plenty in my life, but we we make the mistake of thinking that results can come more quickly than they can, than is realistic, I'll say. And so, you know, if I look at myself, the positions I've occupied in the corporate world, you know, I've worked myself up from a recent college grad into, you know, project management and then executive level management. And that took a course over 15 years. I mean, that's a lot of time to build a reputation, to build rapport, to get people to understand who you are, to understand that you're trustworthy, you're loyal, you're somebody that is worth listening to. And, you know, depending on how long men have been dealing with issues inside of their homes, this can be a lengthy process as well. And it's not to say that I don't know that anybody is beyond repairing their marriage. There are instances where I would say there's, you know, they're probably past the point of no return. But what I think trips a lot of men up is, you know, they implement a few principles or strategies here and there. And well, I just was spontaneous and, you know, tried to inject some excitement into my marriage, and my wife didn't have sex with me today. So what's going on? It's like, well, you have 10 years of building up in her mind a man who is not exciting, who is boring, who is not assertive, who isn't ambitious, who isn't somebody worth following. You know, that one thing you do is great and you need to continue to build on that. But you can't just look at one little thing that needs to be implemented and expect that's going to turn things around. You know, it is an approach that requires a holistic strategy and making sure that all of your bases are covered. And that's, you know, again, what you see in corporate America, which sucks at times. Often it sucks because, you know, you get all these boxes to check. You report to four different managers to make sure you're doing everything you need to do. But for the most part, that structure is there with a purpose. And while I would never go so far as to say that we should have those kinds of onerous checklists and things like that inside of the home, it still requires a holistic approach. And so a lot of men will dabble and they understand something's wrong. They feel it. It's in their gut, right? And they see the way things are going in their home and they're not happy. And they'll dabble in trying to assert themselves as leaders or, you know, take back what is that the helm of leadership that is rightfully theirs from their wife. Because when a man doesn't lead, the wife has to. She is going to start picking up those pieces. She doesn't like it. It stresses her. She's going to resent you for it. And so by implementing a set of strategies that allows you to cover all of your bases, you can have a home where your wife is comfortable following you, but it's going to take time. And so I want to make sure that's clear, because, you know, I can't stand when you see these programs that are like, you know, get ripped in 5 days or get ripped in 30 days or whatever. Well, if you're 300 pounds, you're not getting ripped in 30 days. I don't care, right? And so we need to have that perspective when we talk about, you know, implementing strategies to fix a home, to fix a family, to fix a marriage. You know, for some of you, if you're, you know, to use that analogy, if you're 15% body fat in terms of your marriage, getting to 10 isn't going to take you that long. But if you're somebody who is, you know, you guys are teetering on the brink of divorce in your home and your kids are completely rebellious, you can turn that around, but that's going to be a more lengthy process. And just want to make sure that you know what you're getting into. I'm not telling you to give up. I think that it is worth it. You should continue to try to improve that home. You made that commitment to your family. You brought those lives that are your children into the world, and you are responsible for answering that call. But understand that it is an uphill battle if you find yourself, you know, years and years down the hole of not leading.
Now, you said it's not going to happen overnight. And it made me think of our friend, our co-acquaintance, Adam Lane Smith, who recently threw out a tweet that said, I did, you know, 200 sit-ups today. Where's my 8-pack? And I was just thinking of that the entire time, but that's the mindset some people have. And it's funny, you know, he's cracking on them. And it's pretty relevant to this because your course, it's an 8-week program, correct?
Yeah, it's designed to be an 8-week program. In terms of getting through all the content, you can get through all the content in 8 weeks, and that is the foundation that you build. But the intent of the course, and I go through this in some of the final videos in the course, is that this is a lifelong commitment that you're making. I mean, it should be. Your family should be a lifelong commitment.
No, I want to be clear to those listening that this program, it's not a Gumroad PDF of 37 pages. Like, this is videos and action items, and there's the master plan that goes with it. There's bonus videos. So let's sort of dive onto that. You know, you were talking about the way companies work successfully is they have a strategy that they follow. And how would that not be equally relevant to a family? It's just different. You cater it, you know, instead of, you know, it's your business partner, it's your wife, your employees, those are your children. You know, you just minor details, but the universal, you know, application is the same. And again, this is to build a strong foundation to go from. And makes me, it's sort of like 31 DTM. You know, at the end of it, that sort of gets you to day one. You know, so at the end of this, you have the strong foundation, you've got the vision, you've got, you know, your objectives, what you're doing, and then you can go forward. So let's, I love how you start out with it, which is the action plan. Acta non verba, it's my jam. Yeah. So what is, when guys are kicking off their action plan, you know, what kind of mindset are you setting them up in week one?
Yeah, so week one is you know, we ease into this, right? Again, you know, this is designed for men who are all across the spectrum of failed being a failed leader. You know, some who are just failing in a few areas, some who are failing in every area. And so from week one, we really start by laying the foundation of understanding, what does your family stand for? And what do you want for your family? What do you want for yourself as a man? You know, we hear it said all the time, Hunter, and you and I have said this ad nauseum, that, you know, a man needs a mission. Now that has to come first and foremost. What are you doing as a man? What do you want from your life? What do you want from your family? What are you doing? Where are you going? And why should your family follow you? Why should they support you? And so we really spend the first week or two just delving into that kind of, and it's tough, man. It can be a dark place to go, because you have to confront your failures as a leader. You have to be intellectually honest enough to look at where you are failing and come to terms with where you want to go and what needs to change. And so, yeah, it's establishing a vision of what do you want for yourself? What is, you know, a year from now, 3 months from now, whatever it is, what do you want for your family? What principles, what behaviors, what action plans, what achievements, what are you looking for? You know, you're kind of taking this assessment of where am I at, and where do I want to go, and where do I want to take my family? And once you have that vision, you start bringing your family members into this. You know, and this is not just for married men. I would say that married men were who I had in mind when I created this program. But if you're a man who's divorced and you have split custody with your children, these principles are also effective for bringing your children up to where you want them to be. And I do want to point this out too, that part of this mission and purpose that you're going to be instilling in your family as you go through this program is geared toward children, because I see children. I know you agree with this, Hunter. You see this all the time, and you know, we talk about these tablet toddlers, right? You know, and that's what that is indicative of, is children just don't have a purpose. They don't have anything of greater value they're doing, and so what do? They waste time. They bide their time. And I'm not the kind of parent that says my kids can never play on their iPads, but I do try to make them earn that time. And make sure that they have things that they're working toward. They're going to bring greater value to their life. You know, my daughter's out practicing her soccer moves or her juggling or shooting or whatever. My son, I'm playing catch with my son. You know, they're doing their schoolwork. They're getting those things done first, and then they can have some playtime. But I do also believe that kids need to have goals that they are working toward. You know, we make a big mistake when we just assume our children, because they're young, you know, they don't need to be challenged, or they don't need to be stretched beyond the things that they're currently doing. And we can see this very easily. You know, just a recent example for me, a few months ago, I'm outside with my three kids, and I don't even know how they got started doing this, but they started racing each other, doing little sprints in the front yard. And so I get out my stopwatch on my phone, and I'm like, all right, we're going to go one at a time, and we're going to see how fast each of you are. And so I timed all of them, and I don't know what their times were, but they all had varying degrees of speed that they displayed. And so then I was like, okay, now we're going to work on bettering that time. And so just even in that moment, you know, just sprint after sprint, they were just digging down, getting that grit, you know, and trying to be a little bit faster every time. And for about 2 weeks, they were out there sprinting nearly every day because they were trying to improve their time. And they have since kind of gone away from that and moved on to other things. But that's just a clear example that, you know, when you give kids a challenge, when you tell them that they can work hard and achieve results, they buy into that very quickly, because they want that. They don't want to be bored. They don't want to sit around with nothing to do. They want something that will bring greater value to their life that they can pursue. And that's why I love Jocko Willink's books, you know, Way of the Warrior Kid. I think that that series of books does a great job of just instilling that truth into our children. You know, seeing, you know, Mark in the book go from not being able to do a single pull up to, you know, doing 10 plus by the end of the first book. And my kids, you know, reading that to my kids, they really bought into that idea. But what Jocko is explaining in that book is something that it is our responsibility as fathers to give purpose to our children. It is our responsibility as men and leaders of the home to inject purpose into that home and to give our wives a sense of purpose and a place in the mission that we are pursuing. And that's where we really start off with the foundation of the program is understanding what is it we want? Where are we at? Where do we want to go? What can we do as men to better lead our wives and our children to give them that sense of mission and purpose? And you know, if, when you look at the corporate world, Hunter, you know, the teams that work on a similar mission or goal, they get pretty, they bond, right? I mean, you all have a part to play and you're all communicating, collaborating and brainstorming and figuring out ways to achieve the goals at hand. And why don't we utilize that in the home? You know, we see homes where, you know, the siblings are constantly fighting, husbands and wives are not on the same page. There's a complete lack of unity. Well, the reason that is the case is because they're all, every person in that family is going in a different direction. There is no cohesive mission or unity of purpose in mind. And that's what I seek to help men to instill in their homes from the very first week of this program.
You know, you're talking about being out and then the kids running, skipping a few weeks. You talk about objectives. And it's interesting because what you're saying, and I hope men are understanding, is that this is not about maximizing efficiency. You know, part of your objective could be forging that bond with your child. Well, that going out there and timing them, that could stop you from building the shed or cleaning up the yard, whatever you're doing. It could slow you down and letting your kid turn the wrenches. You know, this is not about maximum efficiency as much as what is the objective? Well, if the objective is to improve the relationship, that gets placed higher priority than fixing the engine, or I don't know why I'm focused on wrenches right now, but you know, whatever it is you're trying to do, you know, that gets priority over completing the task. It's not just checking the box. It's like the intangible aspect of this as well. That is the relationship with the child, the relationship with the wife. So could you talk to me maybe a few examples of what you had in mind when you're talking about men setting objectives for themselves, their families, you know, the enthusiastic buy-ins to getting and achieving these goals?
Absolutely, man. That's so important because here's the thing. You can do that. You can be the kind of leader, whether it's in the home or place of business, that just says, here's the goal. This is what we're going toward. I don't care what you have to say about it. This is what you're going to do, and end of story. And you can kind of, you know, try to lead with that iron fist mentality. You can do that. And you might get some results from that, but you will never get enthusiastic buy-in. And that is never an optimal scenario. What you want from any team that you are leading is optimistic buy-in. You know, Hunter, I'm sure you see this with the baseball team that you coach. You want the kids to follow you because they see where you're going and they want to go there. They want to join you in where you're going. You want, when you're working with them on something, maybe it's, you know, being able to throw a little straighter or get that curveball working. You know, you want them to want that themselves. You can't instill that desire in them unless you can help them see the value in it, but they have to ultimately want it for themselves. And part of the role of us as leaders and leading our home is not just to say, you know, all right, son, here's the objective I have for you. Now go do it. No, it's working with our children, working with our wives to say, you know, hey, what do you want for yourself, right? So, you know, the foundation that we come up with at the beginning is our vision as the leader of where we want to see our family go. But part of this process as we get into, you know, in weeks 2 and 3 and beyond is collaborating with our wives, with our children, getting into their heads, finding out what their deep desires are. What are the things that they're thinking? You know, we as men sit and think all the time about, you know, what we don't have in life or what we want to have or how we want to shape the reality around us to be something different than it is today. And that's a great thing. That's how we mold society. That's how we instill positive change. But we rarely give our kids the opportunity to do that. We rarely give our wives the opportunity to do that. And then we, on top of that, we don't generally support them in the things that they themselves come up with. We tend to only want to support them in the things that we think are important for them. And so in establishing yourself as a clear and present, strong, healthy leader of a family, we have to get our kids and our wives involved. We have to understand from them, what do they want to achieve? Because when they have a hand in that, they see the value in the things that they want. That's why they want to achieve those things. You know, if my daughter wants to run faster, she sees some value in that. And so that's why she's trying to pursue that. If my son wants to hit a baseball farther, He sees value in that. And so from that, it's very easy to get their buy-in. If you are having people work on things that they already are saying are valuable to them, and these are objectives that they want to achieve, well, at that point, your job as the leader, support them as best as you can. Hold them accountable to it. You know, put an action plan in place. You talked about the objectives. You know, an objective without a plan of action is a wish. It's not an objective. So there has to be an action plan in place as well. And so this course walks through the process of understanding what are the desires that your children have? What purpose is there that they would find great value in? And how do you structure that desire put a plan in place that will allow them to be successful in achieving that? And so that's how you get enthusiastic buy-in. You know, when you are helping them to achieve the things that they want to achieve, they're going to buy into it. They're going to buy into the mission. And again, if you have a long history of not supporting your children and what they want to do, you are kind of an iron-fisted, you know, leader in the home, or you're just not leading at all, it's going to take a little bit of time. You have to build that trust, build that rapport. It's just like if you have a problematic team member in the place of business, in the corporate world. It's relationship building. It is. And it's the same inside of the home as it is outside. But I do believe that inside of the home, we can overcome these things to a much greater degree. And I also think the bonds that are built when you have a family that is all striving toward a common purpose while also chasing after their own objectives and holding each other accountable to those objectives, there is nothing more powerful than that. And that does meld together very quickly when it's done correctly.
I'd have to agree. I mean, when I'm looking over my entire time in the military, the tightest bonds I forged were during the hardest times that we were going through. You know, whatever's most stressful, because I knew the guys, even the girls to my right and to my left that were going through it as well, were the only ones who understood what it is I was going through. And therefore, that was my family away from my family.
Yeah, that's normal. There's I can't remember the name of it, but in psychology, there's a name for it. I want to say it's called misattribution, but that could be totally wrong. But, you know, I remember, you know, in college, I was taking the psychology class and the professor was saying, you know, if you want to really get a girl to like you quickly and just be magnetically drawn to you, find a way on that first date or second date to be in a high pressure, high anxiety situation and maintain your cool. Because if you can do that, you know, that those high stress situations or you know, where there's high anxiety, people bond together in those situations because you both kind of share in that moment, right? You find a way to lean into one another. And it is a tremendous bonding experience, as you've said.
I think too, and this is not a psychology class, this is armchair psychologist, you know, Hunter, that when adrenaline and stuff, you know, that is pumped through your veins, you know, you're paranoid, but it's actually a higher sense of awareness because so much is happening that time slows down. So you're forging deeper bonds. So you're forging a closer bond with that person because your time is slow, you're focusing, things are going bad, and you're relying on that person and they're there. And it's a tighter connection. And to the family unit, actually going back to the military, you know, that's how in boot camp they break you down, is they stress you the hell out and you've got to figure things out. High stress. What do you do? This is happening. What do you do? That's happening. And you're like, I don't freaking know. And what they're doing is like, you just got to stay cool. You just got to like work together, you know, don't fall apart because you're going to fail. It's like, you know, the divided snake, you know, divided house will fall. So I think that ties very well into literally your house. A divided house will fall. You've got to find a way to bring it together. And if it's that objective that the family's chasing, that's tightening those bonds. If it's trying to run together and hit a higher score and the kids are out there running, you don't see it because it's weird to sit and analyze every action you take, but you're tightening their bonds as sibling unit. So it's, you know, the Craig James clan against the world instead of against each other. And you'll see a greater success. And a lot of men, that's exactly what they're looking for. Instead of all the infighting, to actually go out and be proud and have a wife who leans on her husband while they're walking down the road, and, you know, kids who are like jumping back and forth, you know, happy-go-lucky, instead of everybody like pissed off all the time and overcritical.
Yeah. One of the things that, you know, I talk to my family about a lot, especially as my kids are getting older, you know, they're 7, 9, and 11. And so they're getting to that point now where behaviors of other kids are starting to get a little bit more dicey, and immoral behaviors and things. They're getting exposed to things, right, that really are testing their mettle on their morality and ethics, and where do they stand on things. And, you know, something that I think has been lost in today's generation that, you know, generations before very well understood, and it's equally true today, is that what we do as men, what our wives do as our wives and mothers, what our children do as sons and daughters. Everything that we do, our behaviors, our actions, our decisions, our successes, our failures, that is a reflection on all of the members of our family. You know, if I go out and I act a fool and, you know, get drunk and act a fool, whatever, you know, that is a reflection of my family. That reflects poorly upon my wife and on my children. If my son or my daughter throws a temper tantrum when they're out, you know, playing sports and don't know how to handle their business in the midst of failure, that is a poor reflection on me as a father, whether or not I have a, you know, a strong hand in that or not. You know, maybe they're human, right? Maybe they just, the stress got to them and they exploded. But that's still a reflection on me as their father. And I try to instill that into my children often, just to let them know, hey, remember who you are, right? Remember who you are, remember what you stand for, and remember that the things that you do in this life are a reflection on me. And I remind them often, you know, if I fail, you know, if I behave in a way that is not becoming of our values or principles in this home, you know, I admit it. You know, I come clean. I admit, hey, you know, guys, I was wrong here and I apologize. And that is something that I think has been lost, is that we need to understand, you know, on the team, when one member performs poorly, guess what? That whole team can lose a game. If that pitcher can't throw a strike, everybody suffers. That's not just the pitcher. Yeah, the pitcher might carry that emotional burden a little bit more.
That one hits. That one hits.
But it's the same thing inside of the family. Yeah, your son's a pitcher, man. You get it. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sure if your son is having some issues on the mound, you feel a little bit of burden of responsibility for that, right? And you're going to talk to him after the game and figure out what went wrong and how do you fix it. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But I do think that we need to remind our families, our family members, and come to terms with the fact that, you know, our families mean something. You know, I'm not just Craig James going about my business, and what I do has no reflection or no bearing on what my wife or my children do. We all share in each other's successes and failures, and it's important that we do understand that, and also remind each other of that often. Be willing to share our failures and have that culture of accountability. I mean, my kids will hold me accountable, and I think that's a great thing. You know, if they hear me say a word that maybe, you know, I don't usually say or something, like, Dad, did you just say that? Like, yeah, I know. You know, they're like, well, I can't say that. And so it's like, yeah, you're right. You can't say that. So I shouldn't have said it either. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things that we do have to lead by example at all times.
You know, in the plan, you included something that I thought was very interesting, and that was managing morale. So throughout this process, you know, like I said, for some men, it's going to be a total overhaul. And for others, it's going to be minor shifts here and there. But for both of those men, you know, there's going to be some, why are we doing this? Some pushback, some happiness, some frustrations and sadness. Why did you intentionally choose to focus on managing the morale of the family?
Yeah, that one's big for me. I actually attribute a lot of my success inside the home and in the corporate world to just my attitude. You know, I am somebody who is generally positive. You know, I did a podcast not that long ago about the power of positivity. I'm generally positive, even in the midst of adversity, you know, trials, tribulations. I try to see the glass half full. And even if you're in a situation where there's really no good way out and you're just going to have to deal, you're just going to have to bowl through it, right? You know, having a negative countenance doesn't do anything but tear down everybody who is under your leadership. And so, you know, managing morale is a huge issue, because, you know, the when morale starts to take a turn for the worse, you can lose control of your team very quickly. And so how do we maintain morale? You and I talked about this a little bit in the one of the last podcasts we did together. And, you know, we have fun. We keep it lighthearted in the home. I cannot stand when I see, you know, a wife that's miserable, a husband that's miserable, and they just look completely downtrodden, like life has just lost all of its luster inside of their home. And when a man behaves that way, his wife and his children are going to follow suit. And so this isn't some, like, just, you know, well, put a fake smile on my face and act like everything's okay. No, it's understanding that, yes, life is hard at times. It's understanding that you as the leader need to be the rock. You need to be displaying that positivity, that constructive attitude, and putting your team on your back and moving forward, even in the midst of life's greatest storms. And it's amazing that when you do that, you see such a contrast between how your family responds in these situations or even in good situations, just the way that they carry themselves versus the families who are led by men who are whiners, who are complainers, who are despondent, and who act like they have zero control over anything that happens to them. You know, when we are, all of us have leaders or mentors, people that we follow in life. None of us willingly follow people who do nothing to inspire us, who are constantly negative, who just break us down, who give us zero inspiration to want to do better or to want to go somewhere different than where we are today. And so that morale management largely comes back to men being able to have some fun in the home, keeping things lighthearted, not taking everything so seriously, and just enjoying and immersing in successes, you know, dealing with failures in a way that is worthy of them being dealt with. Yes, we fail. We need to learn from that and move forward, but we don't need to beat ourselves up over it. We need to again, learn from it, move forward, keep our shoulders back, our head high, our eyes forward, and maintain a positive attitude at all times. I'm actually reading a book that goes into this a little bit. It's a psychology book, and they talk about how people who take standardized tests and go into it with a positive attitude scored something like 20% higher than those who were taking that test with a negative attitude. And this, you know, adjusts for, you know, differences in intelligence and education and all this. So just again, shows this power of being positive, inspiring other people. You know, when we are carrying a positive attitude, I don't know about you, Hunter, but I know that when I am negative, I struggle to find solutions to the things that I need to find solutions for. You know, it's just, I feel like there's this cloud over my brain and nothing seems to work the way it should. And, you know, whenever I shift that perspective to, you know what, I'm going to get this done. It has to get done. There's no other way. I'm going to make the best of it and work through it. You know, the answer generally presents itself. And so, yes, managing morale is extremely important because as the father goes, so goes the family.
I like that. That's the Craig James versions of, your children follow your example, not your advice. How the father goes, so goes the family. I like that. Might start using that.
It's true. And as the family goes, so goes society. So understand, man, this is, you know, this is something that extends beyond the walls of our homes. You know, we have a great impact in the world by the way that we lead our families.
That's wild. It's to think of how much the macro does reflect the micro. You know, how you run your family, all of a sudden your community is better. I've noticed distinct changes since, you know, my family got involved with the Little League around here. More families are involved. We, you know, we made a team effort, a family thing. So it's not just two dads coaching the kids. We brought the families on. We brought, you know, the extended families on. And all of a sudden, it's like our team became like a little mini community. And then the other teams tried doing the same. So that's, and everything grew because two men decided to coach and to make it a thing that's more than, oh, I'm just checking a box to coach the kids. We had objectives. We managed the morale. Everything you're saying that applies to leading a family properly, we apply to coaching youth sports properly. You know, these lessons that you're impacting each week are universal. Like, I hope people understand that it's not just, oh, here's how I fix my family. Here's how you fix your hobbies. Here's how you fix, you know, everything about who it is you are. And a little while back, you said something about whining and complaining. And I know, you know, through FOE, you know, you and I have seen, and we've told them, you know, if you're going to vent, you vent to your fellow men. And I thought it was awesome that included with the family CEO is the family CEO Slack community. So they have their group. So that's where they can go with their questions. That's where they can go with it. You know, if your wife's not coming around fast enough, that's where you can be like, hey guys, are you facing the same issue? You know, like, how are you handling this? It's interesting because not many men have that. And they don't even know how, like, to stop using their wife as their verbal vomit machine, you know? So could you talk a little to why you included the group and how it could be best utilized?
Yeah, you did a good job of setting that up. And it's exactly like you said. It's meant to be a community where, you know, back to that kind of positive, constructive attitude, where men who are working, actively working to try to become the leaders that their families need them to be, can congregate together and share successes, share failures, vent frustrations, get advice and tips or whatever strategies that other men are using to lead their families well. Because whatever struggles most men find themselves in, there are plenty of other men who have dealt with that same struggle and plenty of other men who have overcome that struggle. And so I wanted to make sure that those who purchase this program do have a community that they can go to, that they can bond with these other people, other men in a constructive environment that You know, what we see in FOE Hunter, Fraternity of Excellence, what I think, you know, many things set that apart from a lot of the places that men or people in general engage online. But one of the greatest attributes inside of that community and inside of this, the Family CEO Forum that comes with the course, is that it's led in such a way that the expectation is that everybody in there seeks to help everybody else. And so, you know, when you go online, if you're on Twitter or Reddit or wherever people congregate, you know, there's a large contingent of individuals on there that really just seek to troll, to cut others down. That's not what we have inside of the Fraternity of Excellence. It's not what the forum that comes with the Family CEO Masterclass is about. It is a place where men who truly want to see their fellow man succeed, who are working toward a similar mission, can come together, share their thoughts and experiences, and do so in a way that seeks to be of benefit to all involved, to share that value. And there, I mean, we don't have that very, very often in society today. I mean, even within, you know, within places of business, yes, you know, like I said earlier, you know, teams that are all working toward a common goal, what do? They try to help each other. They're all trying to get to the same place, right? And so that's the idea with this forum, is where all those who are going through this program and striving toward a similar mission can come together and help each other to achieve the things that they all want to achieve.
This has been an excellent breakdown. I mean, this in itself is a solid template. So for the guys that are listening, you know, that are looking for this, whether you have a family, or you're going to be starting a family, or, you know, you're looking to be prepared when it comes down the line and you want to rub shoulders with the men who've been there and done that, you know, there's a link below. Craig, any final closing points for those who are listening to this and they're like, all right, this sounds like it's for me?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mentioned it earlier, but I do want to reiterate that, you know, your job, if you're a man, if you are listening to this and you are a man and you have a family, divorced or not, you have brought life into the world. You have made a decision to be with a woman for the rest of your life. That carries a certain amount of commitment and responsibility, a great amount of commitment and responsibility. And most of the time, if you are not happy in your marriage, if you are not happy with the way your kids are responding or not responding to your leadership, you are the problem. There are exceptions, but they are few and far between. And so you owe it to yourself, you owe it to your family, to take the steps necessary to fix what is broken in you as their leader, the one that they are counting on to lead them, as a first course of action. And so that is what this course was created to do. I want to see you succeed. You know, we've talked a little bit about the things that are included in the program. I also offer access to email me. Anybody who signs up can email me at any time with questions that they have. If there's something that's maybe more personal, you don't want to share in the Slack community, you can email me, because I want to see you succeed. This is not something I'm putting out there just to make a quick buck. You know, I put a lot of time and energy, you know, a decade plus of life experience into this. And I think that, you know, a man is worthy of his wages when he gives value to his fellow man. But I also, more than anything, want to see my fellow man succeed. I'm tired of seeing families broken apart because men are failing to take the helm of leadership that is rightfully theirs to lead. And so inside of this program, you know, I try to leave no stone unturned. I'm constantly updating it. After we get off this call, I'm actually going to be recording another bonus video that's going to be added to that. So, I mean, there will eventually be hundreds of videos inside of this community, all designed to help men like you be the successful leaders of the families that you need to be for yourself and for them.
That's very well said. At certain times when you get on, you know, certain topics, it's like you can just feel like this is coming from the soul. You know, it's not just like, hey, here's my copyright that I learned from, you know, whatever the hell on Twitter. It's like legitimately coming from a place of personal, you know, desire and experience and just a sense of compassion. And it's just really cool to see that. And I'm really glad you're able to capture those experiences, bundle it up, and put it into such a cohesive, you know, follow along, clear cut course. I mean, I've been through it. I enjoy it. I mean, the videos, the course, the plan, it all makes sense. It helped me be more intentional in certain areas where I saw I was lacking, and I thought I was squared away. But that just goes to show, I mean, this is for everybody. Like, nobody's ever there, because once you're there, there's somewhere else to go. you know, and
yeah, and that's a great thing about it too, Hunter, is that it's evergreen.
Exactly.
You can always come back to this and review things and see where you're slipping when you start to see, you know, undesirable outcomes take place in the family. You're right. It is a thing of passion for me because, you know, I have family members. I have friends who I see suffering. I try to help them, you know, and for every one of those, there's 10,000 other men who I don't know who are dealing with the same issue. And a percentage of those men are ready to do what it takes. And for those men, that's what the Family CEO is for.
Craig, thanks for coming on.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for having me, dude. It's always a great conversation with you. And I hope your audience gets, whether they buy the course or not, I hope they get a lot out of this that helps them to be the leaders that their families need them to be and that they need to be for themselves. Yes,
for everybody that's still tuning in, links are below. Click them, dive on to the Family CEO. If you have questions before committing to it, hit up Craig at Craig James on Twitter. Email? Is Twitter best for you?
Yeah, Twitter's good. Yeah, you can email me at craig@masculinebydesign.com. That's fine, too. Right.
This has been another episode of the Family Alpha Podcast. Take care.
Thanks for listening. You can join our private men's only community at thefraternityofexcellence.com. And don't forget to find Hunter on Twitter and Instagram with the handle @HunterDrewTFA.